Well, friend, here's a wonderful verse to start off our Thursday. Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." Oh, friend, let us eagerly wait for him, but also serve him while we are waiting. A great truth today from Hebrews 9:28. So good to see you. It's the third day of June 2021. Yeah, we're just flying by this week, I'll tell you, because Monday was kind of an off day. I know some of us had the day off for Memorial Day on Monday, and you blink and it's already Thursday. So hey, good to see you. My name is Joey Kroll, and I have the joy of sitting behind this microphone every Thursday and being the guest host for Mark and friends. And yep, here we are. It's already June, ready or not, here it comes. But with this new month comes a new edition of the Prime Lifetimes, the June edition of the Prime Lifetimes. Some great articles again this month. It's a part of this radio ministry. It's informative, engaging, and positive, the Prime Lifetimes. Last check, I think we were a little over 350 locations of where you can get your free copy. Now, it's been growing, so I kind of lost track here. But last check, it was around 350 locations throughout our listening area and beyond where you can get this paper. It comes out every month, monthly publication with informative articles, engaging, positive, some great encouraging articles. I have the great pleasure of writing every month in a column called Wayside Chapel, some encouraging scripture passages and devotional thoughts. So make plans to pick up your edition, the June copy of the Prime Lifetimes. You can find out where you can get your free paper by visiting primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com, and click on the distribution list as well. Well, coming up for Mark and friends today, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked a pretty intriguing question, a personal question of who do you say I am? And we're going to talk about that a little bit more, because at the end of our life, that is a question that we must answer. What have we done with Jesus? Who do you say I am? That's going to be our study today from Matthew chapter 16, right after this. For Mark and friends.
Yeah.
Hillsong and Shine, Jesus, Shine. So great to hang out with you on Mark and Friends today. It's Thursday, June 3rd. And, well, there's a man by the name of John Carpenter. He was a contestant on the TV show, you might remember this, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And he was zipping right along without using any of his lifelines. And then he came to the million dollar question. I remember watching this on TV, and the question was, which of these U.S. presidents appeared on the television series Laugh-In? Was it Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Jimmy Carter, or Gerald Ford? And John, at this million-dollar question, asked to phone a friend, which was his dad. And here's the transcript of this conversation. John says, "Hi, Dad." And his dad over the phone says, "Hi." And John says, I really don't need your help. I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to win the $1 million. And the crowd begins to laugh and then starts to cheer. With 7 seconds remaining, John says, "The U.S. president that appeared on Laugh-In is Richard Nixon, and that's my final answer." And John Carpenter of Hampton, Connecticut, won the $1 million thanks to that question. How about that? Fred, I'll tell you what, there is a much greater question, a much more important question that we all must answer. And we're going to be talking about that today here for Mark and Friends, the one question we all must answer. So if you have your Bibles, if you're able, join me in Matthew chapter 16 today. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Amen. Great reminder right there. So Jesus kind of asked two questions here. First of all, he asked a general question. He said in verse 13, "Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?'" And so his disciples were saying, "Well, you know what? We were kind of hearing out in the district. We heard in town as we were getting some groceries, so to speak. And we heard people saying that you're John the Baptist. Some people say, hey, you're Elijah who came back, and you're Elijah today. And some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you were some of the other prophets." You know what? And so these disciples were hearing this chatter about what people believed about Jesus. We have that today, right? Some people believe that Jesus was a good man, right? He was only a good man. And we got to be careful with this, because people today have this false image, this false picture of Jesus, right? They kind of picture Jesus as a hippie. You know, with Birkenstocks, a tie-dye shirt, smoking a peace pipe, you know, a Jesus that's okay with sin, that loves everyone, loves everything, doesn't hate anything, is okay with sin, doesn't judge anyone, just a peace pipe smoking hippie Jesus, right? That's how some people see him today, just a laid-back God, just chilling. So some people today believe that Jesus was a good man, was only a good man, that is. Some people believe that Jesus was only a prophet. They say, oh, he's such a spiritual man. He was a leader of a religion. He did some good stuff for God. He talked about some great principles, spirituality, spiritual principles, and that's it. Some people today believe that Jesus was a lunatic. He was off in the head, maybe sincere, but he was crazy, mentally deranged. I mean, look at some of the claims that Jesus had said. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me should not hunger. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And so somebody today can look at that and say, those are some crazy claims. What a lunatic, right? You ever read the story about Lee Strobel? Oh my, what a great testimony. He was a journalist in Chicago for the Chicago Tribune. He was an atheist, and really through a series of events, his wife Leslie gave her heart to Jesus, and Lee was stunned when she told him that she had become a Christian. And so since he was a journalist, he investigated Christianity and the claims of Jesus to disprove the Bible, to disprove Christianity. And friend, at the end of that investigation, he was so overwhelmed by his research and the evidence that he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And he wrote a book about it called The Case for Christ. And here's what Lee Strobel said about the claims of Jesus. He says, you see, if I claim to be the president of the United States, that would be crazy. You look at me and see none of the trappings of the office of the president. I wouldn't look like the president. People wouldn't accept my authority as president. No Secret Service agents would be guarding me. But if the real president claimed to be the president, that wouldn't be crazy because he is the president and there is plenty of confirming evidence of that. And he goes on to say, Jesus didn't just claim to be God. He backed it up with amazing feats of healing, with astounding demonstrations of power over nature, teaching with divine insights into people, and ultimately with his own resurrection from the dead, which absolutely no one else has been able to duplicate. So when Jesus claimed to be God, it wasn't crazy. It was the truth. And so everybody has an opinion about Jesus. So Jesus asked the disciples a general question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? But friend, he also asked a personal question. In Matthew 16:15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? He says, who do you, forget everybody else now, who do you say that I am? Friend, that was a personal question. Every single one of us listening within the sound of my voice and beyond will one day stand before Almighty God. And we will have to come to terms with the question, what have you done with Jesus? And friend, honestly, I'm going to say this. At that point, it doesn't matter how much money you've made in your life. It doesn't matter how much stuff you've collected. It doesn't matter how many letters you have after your name. What have you done with Jesus? Friend, that is the most important question that we will all face. Again, we're talking about the one question we all must answer. What have you done with Jesus? Friend, it's not about knowing about him. It's not knowing about him. I mean, we got folks today who can tell you everything about Jesus. I remember growing up in Chicago in the mid-90s. Watching the Chicago Bulls and their championship run, and I was a Michael Jordan fan. I can tell you that he won 6 NBA championships. He was the most valuable player 5 times. He was the NBA All-Star 14 times. He was the Rookie of the Year in 1985. I may know about Michael Jordan, but friend, I don't know Michael Jordan. I can tell you basic facts about Michael Jordan, but I can't tell you personal stories of Michael Jordan. Do you know Jesus, or do you know about Jesus? There's a lot of people who know about Jesus, but they've never bowed their knee to Jesus. Giving the right Sunday school answers will not save you, only putting your complete trust in Jesus Christ. Friend, it's not about knowing about him. It's not necessarily serving him either. I mean, friend, having a church position doesn't save a person. It doesn't. Just because we may get up and serve on some church team or church committee, or you help assist in an outreach event, doesn't mean you're a follower of Jesus. Church membership doesn't save a person. Jesus said in Matthew 7:22, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. They may have sung in the choir, but they weren't saved. They may have helped taken the offering, but they weren't saved. They may have worked on the church grounds, but they weren't saved. They may have preached. They weren't saved. They may have tithed, but they weren't saved. They may have had church membership, but they weren't saved. Friend, works and service doesn't save a single soul. Judas was somebody who worked with Jesus. he was the treasurer of Jesus' ministry. This dude was the CFO of the greatest ministry this world has ever seen. I mean, you look at his resume, you'd be like, hey, let's hire this man. But friend, he may have worked with Jesus, may have served Jesus, but friend, he did not know and have a relationship with the Son of the living God. He was so close, yet so far. The one question we all must answer is, what have you done with Jesus? Friend, it's not knowing about him. It's not about having some position or serving him. Friend, it's not about someone else's faith in him either. Friend, I mean, we can't be entering heaven writing someone else's faith. Friend, God has countless children, but he has zero grandchildren. We can't be writing on someone else's ticket. We can't be writing the coattails of somebody else. I know your dad may have been a pastor, or your uncle may have been a deacon, or a loved one may have been a missionary, but friend, that doesn't make you a follower of Christ. Bowing your knee, repenting, and confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Oh, friend, believing upon him, not an intellectual belief, but a belief that relies in, clings to, trusts in, will save you. One day, we will stand before God. We will be faced with the question, what have you done with Jesus? At that moment, your church attendance, your tithing records, your knowledge and facts about Jesus, the amount of money you've made, or your church position on a church board somewhere, won't matter. Won't matter. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, not just lip service, but it also says, and believe in your heart, believe it with everything you have, and then some, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Put your trust, your complete trust, in Jesus today. What have you done with Jesus?
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and live. And like a newborn baby, Don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. When the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus. Final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.